south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great. And it's all right here, so let's get started. Let's start out light and talk about something that's kind of funny. Well, not funny to the people that's happening to, but to us first worlders with a twisted sense of humor, well, it's funny. And I'll tell you, the overwhelming majority of long-term expats I know do have a twisted view of the world. And there's nothing wrong with that. And you know, you could say a lot of things about us expats. That we're unpatriotic, or that we're cowards for abandoning the first world. That we're running away from something. Or even that we're skinflints because we prefer to live cheaply and in places that assess their residence next to nothing in taxes. But there's one thing you can't call us. You can't call us chicken shits, and you can't say we're boring. All right, so that's two things you can't call us. So shoot me. Now, I've told you many times before that Venezuela is completely falling apart. Not a place for expats. The currency's unstable. Crime there is about four times as high as anywhere else in South America. And all those years with Chavez in power, spewing vile hatred against Americans in every speech he made, well, after 10 or 12 years of that, it has had some negative effects on the way common Venezuelans feel about Americans, including expats and gringos and tourists in general. And you see, because of constantly slamming Americans in America, and Bush Jr. particularly, who, by the way, was a total ignoramus and really did deserve everything Chavez threw at him. Now, who was it that said that George Bush Jr. was born with a silver foot in his mouth? That is his legacy and should be on his tombstone, don't you think? Anyway, I found that Venezuela is practically the only country in Latin America where you'll find the occasional anti-American sentiment even on the street level with the common people. Which is really surprising because you don't see any of that in Cuba. You'd think, because of all that's gone down between us over the years, the Cubans would really have it in for us, but they don't. The common Cubans you meet on the street just love Americans. But that's an easy one to explain if you think about it. Because the thing is, every single Cuban you meet, if you visit Cuba, has a relative up in the States sending back money, called remesas, so that their poor relatives on the island can hopefully scrape by. So naturally, for them, the United States, where their relatives are prospering, is the goose that laid the golden egg. And their relatives in Cleveland are always sending back money and good reports. Well, I take that back. They're probably not in Cleveland. More like Miami and New York. I hardly think Cubans are relocating to Cleveland. Not quite the promised land, huh? Anyway, that makes Cuba a great place for expats to visit and to live. And Venezuela? Well, that's not a good place to live or visit for expats. And the government's in the habit of expropriating land and businesses owned by foreigners. So in the end, what's the point of buying real estate there, even if it is cheap? Now, the fact is, in the larger cities anyway, like Caracas, crime is so rampant and the people so desperate that every day, petty thieves and criminals are inventing new ways to steal and get over on someone for the dough. And the latest and greatest hit-and-run assault-type scam has popped up there in the last few months, drawing blank stares from everyone who hears about it. And at first, when I heard it, I thought it was a joke. I didn't believe it either. But it's absolutely true. Get this. A group of young men will scout out certain young women, pulling them into a dark, secluded, or private place, and not physically assaulting or raping or stealing their purses, but they'll pull out a shears and in 20 or 30 seconds cut off all the girls' hair. Why? Because in Venezuela and the rest of South America, there's a very large market for long, glistening, shining hair. I'm talking about natural hair wigs and hair extensions. And right now, if you walk into the right beauty parlor in Venezuela, you could sell a 2-foot-long wad of straight hair for around 3,000 bolivars. So if you do have a head of hair like that, you can make about 450 to 500 bucks. That's the hair without the head, of course. So what you've got in cities like Caracas are gangs of hair bandits, for lack of a better term, secretly scouting out young ladies with long, thick, beautiful straight hair. Then they plot out the girl's movements, the mark, for a day or two, since, as you well know, about 90% of people in Venezuela, as well as 90% of the middle and lower classes in the rest of Latin America, don't drive or have a car, which means they're forced to ride Venezuelan public transportation and their version of chicken buses, too. where everyone's packed in worse than sardines. That's elbow to butthole. Perfect conditions for anyone who wants to get up close and personal and really check out a person's hair. So these hair bandits just make note of a young girl's travel habits, and they plan where they're going to jump her and shear her locks, most likely in a nearby alley or alcove, someplace she passes on her daily routine. And within about 20 or 30 seconds, they can make short work of about 4 or 5 years' growth of beautiful hair. And because of that, hats, scarves, and headwear are becoming a kind of a necessary fashion statement with lower and middle class young ladies who have to do a lot of walking and riding street transportation with the sweaty masses. Because lower and middle class neighborhoods and hangouts are pretty much the only place these hair bandits can get away with that. Oh, and another thing. It's the very straight hair that the crooks are after. In Spanish, it's called pelo liso. Liso means straight, pelo means hair. So lately, as you might guess, one of the fashion trends with the common folks, that is the middle and lower classes, is for women to let their hair go wild, crazy, and curly. Which, believe me, is a very difficult thing for the average Latin girl to accept. Because down here, curly hair, called colocho hair, has always been considered common or lower class. Whereas perfectly straight long hair has always been considered elegant, stylish, and upper class. So that's why when the lower and middle class girls get together for a big night out, the vast majority of the Latina population, by the way, does have somewhat curly hair. Anyway, when there's a party, a big dance, or an event coming up, they all run out to the beauty parlor and get their hair straightened. Again, that's called pelo liso. Because if it's a big occasion and they're going to be seen in public, they have to look upscale and elegant. And all the other girls in the competition will too. Now, if you've seen any Latin American television at all, or happen to see Latin American ladies in beauty pageants, Miss Universe, Miss World, and all that, I want you to take note that their hair is almost always perfectly straight, pelo liso. But get this, only about 5% of Latin women, I'm talking about Latinas here, women with mixed Spanish blood, have straight hair like that naturally. And by the way, most pure indigenous people have nice, straight, thick hair too. But for some reason, the indigenous ladies are not targeted by hair bandits. Not yet, anyway. And the Venezuelan beauticians who know hair say that there is a difference and that they much prefer the natural hair from the average Latina lady of mixed Spanish blood. Not the shorn locks from an indigenous woman. But to me, that sounds more like racism and classism talk. Because many, many indigenous ladies have beautiful, long, thick hair. But still, the hair bandits have not gone after that class of people yet. And I think I've got it figured out, but I'll get into that later. Anyway, both Latin women and men are absolutely enamored with perfectly straight, long hair. On women, of course. It's been a very strong fashion trend throughout Latin America in the last 10 or 20 years for Latin ladies to have their natural, somewhat curly hair. That's again, colocho in Spanish. Straightened at the beauty parlor or with one of those electric irons that straightens hair. And the fact is, any night of the week, you could see those hair straightening machines on info commercials on Latin TV. Smart marketers have sold millions of those things. Even though Latin ladies, like Expat Eddie's girlfriend, tells me they're pretty much junk, and after a month, they end up in the junk drawer with the Chia Pet and the Ginzu knives. And down here in Latin America, women will say, I'm going to go have my hair planchada, which means basically ironed. The word plancha or planchador, among other things, is the word for clothes iron. So the bottom line is, perfectly straight, beautiful, long hair is the ultimate goal for every Latin lady. And I do mean every single Latin lady, at least when she's young and out in the world making her mark and in the mating and dating scene. It's just always been the fashion, at least since I've been down here. Now, like I said, women who have curly or hair that's colocho, Latins consider that kind of hairdo corriente, which means common or low class, or just unremarkable. And that's why about 95% of all the ladies on TV, in ads, on billboards and posters, and in the media, have beautiful, straight, long hair. And that means newscasters and weather ladies, as well as all lady reporters and women in those notoriously bad soap operas, too. And here's something that's always blown my mind. All of us expats down here know at least a few Latin ladies who have the most beautiful head of curly hair you've ever seen. I mean, if a girl up in the States had hair like that, it would be her mark of distinction and her pride and joy. But when you have hair like that down here in Latin America, it doesn't matter how beautiful, exotic, or striking it looks, that girl is just not happy. She wants straight hair. and she'll go out and do it. That is when she's got a big gig coming up, like a festival or a party, provided she's got the dough for the beauty parlor. Yep, she'll do it all right. I've seen it happen 100 times myself, even at the risk of permanently damaging her hair. Because as you know, especially ladies, you know, anytime you do something drastic like that, there's always a chance that you can really wreck it. And a ton of girls down here who get their hair straightened on occasion, they do wreck it. But it does grow back, right? Now, I don't mean to say that Latin girls have straight hair all the time. Like any woman, they get bored of their do and they'll go to the beauty salon and have this and that done and experiment a little bit. And occasionally, you'll even see ladies on TV who've given up on having perfectly straight hair all the time, too. They'll take a chance on their natural look, or a different style, since, like expat Eddie's girlfriend told me, keeping your hair straight, long, and beautiful all the time is a big pain in the ass. Even so, high-profile ladies, ladies with money, and ladies in the media, they'll always revert back to that perfectly straight, long hair. Now, the average middle and lower class Latin ladies, making up about 90% of the female population, they have very little disposable income. So, they're pretty much all running around with naturally curly or wavy hair most of the time. And they don't like it much. That's why they have it straightened for parties, events, and special occasions. And by the way, right about now, I bet a lot of you are thinking, what the hell is Johnny doing talking about these light and fluffy subjects like that? You're thinking, what do I care about Latin lady hairdos? Well, let me tell you, the reason why I'm talking about this right now and why I talk about such things once in a while, it's by popular demand. If you've noticed, about every 3 or 4 shows, I kind of hit on the mating, dating, and the love and romance angle or something related to it. And there's a good reason for that. You see, when I get emails, and I get a lot of them, the top subjects people want me to hit on are these: the cost of living, safety and security, healthcare for expats and gringos, residency, banking, passports, NSA corporations, expats doing business down here, housing, real estate, buying, building, and renting, and last but not least, the love and romance angle between expats and Latins, as well as all the social aspects of mating and dating down here. And that includes Latin family life too, and all of their distinct customs and conventions. So don't tell me this is fluff. Even this so-called fluff will help you better understand what's happening in Latin society, which can be confusing to us expats and gringos. So every little bit of information helps. In fact, like I told you maybe a year or so ago, expat Eddie's girlfriend is a runway model. And for me, she's a great source of information regarding everything Latina. And I pump her for information all the time, and she's glad to give it up. She's actually a great asset and a bridge between the lower, middle, and upper middle classes, since she was born into a lower middle class family, and by the time she was about 10, her dad had worked the family up into solid middle class, making maybe $800 a month, which down here is solid middle class. And then when she hits about 17, she starts working as a model on a pretty regular basis, making about $800 to $1,000 a month herself, which is really good money down here for a lady still living at home. And basically, all Latinas do live at home till they get married. Then she hooks up with expat Eddie and ends up getting engaged to this so-called rich gringo. And now she's basically won the lottery and has the life of Riley. But still, she's firmly tied to her middle-class family roots, so she's got a foot in both worlds. And by the way, she never listens to this program because her English isn't great. She wouldn't understand half of what I'm saying anyway, which is a good thing. And to relate this back to what I was talking about before, naturally, she has perfectly straight hair. And it's straight almost all of the time. But she wasn't born that way. But like she said, every time there's a casting for a modeling job, the modeling agencies always insist that the girls show up with their hair lisado, or completely straight. It's just a requisite with modeling agencies down here. And it's not the modeling agencies themselves that insist on it. It's the clients that do. Like she says, there'll be 8 or 10 girls that show up at the modeling office for a casting, and the owner of the publicity agency or department store or beer company or whatever that's hiring the girls will always pick the girls with the straight long hair. But get this, even if a girl comes in with really beautiful curly hair and she's absolutely stunning in every other way, they'll hire her, but they'll tell her she has to show up at the job with straight hair. And that's why Eddie's girlfriend says all the girls she knows in the modeling business have at least 3 or 4 long-haired wigs that are absolutely straight, just in case they get a call for a last-minute modeling job or a modeling casting session and their hair hasn't been professionally straightened for a while, because it doesn't stay perfectly straight for long. It only lasts 4 or 5 days at the most. And one more thing. It's not that Latin ladies have chemical treatments put in their hair to make their hair relaxed and straight, like a lot of American girls up in the States do. Like Eddie's girlfriend says, in time that's really destructive and ruins your hair. So they go to the beauty parlor and have their hair planchada, meaning ironed with that funky little hair iron, which generally costs about 10 or 12 bucks. But she says the problem with doing it that way is that as soon as you wash it, it rains or you get a little moisture on it, it goes back to being curly or wavy again, which is why her and her friends all have standby wigs. And like she says, having your hair ironed about every 3 or 4 days is not good for it either. In fact, there's a very fine line between getting a nice, beautiful hair straightening job with an iron and actually burning it. The fact is, I've walked into a few beauty salons myself, and more than once I've been overpowered by the telltale smell of singed hair. Oh, and here's one more thing that I find quite interesting. A Latin friend of mine, in fact, two Latin friends of mine, own advertising agencies. And a year or so back, one of them said to me, Johnny, you know, I don't get gringos. He said, you know what? I have two gringo clients. Two guys that came down from the States to open up franchises. He told me he's got the contract for the billboard publicity for these guys. Billboards, of course, that are going up in Central America. And it turns out, when they did a casting at his office with models to be photographed and put into these billboard ads, he said these stupid gringos rejected all of the girls. They didn't want the usual suspects. The light-skinned, straight-haired girls with extensions and what they call mechas, which are various shades of light, blonde, and tinted highlights, which are so very popular with Latin women these days, but are completely unnatural because Latin hair just does not naturally come in those flavors. Nobody's born like that. But you see, the marketing clients and the ad agencies want women models who look kind of gringoized. Those are the kind of models all the other ad agencies and clients for ad agencies always select. But not these two gringo guys. They wanted to use morenas, very tan-looking Latin girls with a big head of natural curly hair. Sure, they wanted physically beautiful models too, but they wanted the typical natural Latin American look. The very look that my friend who owns the agency doesn't find attractive himself. Even though, get this, he's a typical male version of a moreno. He's dark-skinned and has dark, naturally curly hair himself. But he doesn't like his women like that, which is so typical for Latin men down here. In fact, they're attracted to just the opposite. And that's why they're enamored with North American gringas. In fact, he's married to a very light-skinned Mexican girl with absolutely straight hair. She gets it straightened at the beauty salon, of course. So anyway, these two gringo guys with their franchises, they wanted beautiful dark-skinned Latina models with big hair. Big, curly hair. And he said it took them a long while to round up a few models like that. Since, like he said, down here anyway, girls with that look don't get much work. Enough said about that. Now, where was I? Oh yeah, we were talking about those Venezuelan hair bandits. Oh, and by the way, there are no real good statistics on just how many women are having this weird kind of bodily assault. Since women who actually report the incident to the police are usually not taken seriously at all or even laughed at. And the real irony is, the beauty salons that sell wigs have had a huge upsurge in sales lately. And most likely a lot of the women buying those wigs are doing so because they had a recent back alley haircut themselves. So in some cases, are they buying back their own hair? Well, anything's possible. This is the third world. I mean, look, years ago when I was stupid enough to drive a nice car down here, I had my side window busted and my radio stolen 3 times. And when I went down to that wild and crazy section of town, the Central Market, where they sell everything and anything, and it looks like Beirut, so it scares off a lot of gringos and newbie expats. And it really shouldn't, but that's a subject for another show. Anyway, I'm sure at least one of the times I had to replace my radio, I actually bought my very own stolen radio back. Could happen to anyone, right? And by the way, for all you expat wannabe gringas out there who have nice, straight, beautiful long hair, I'm talking about you North American gringa ladies coming down to visit or coming down as expats. Not to worry, not if you listen to this show. If you do come down to Latin America, you're not going to be walking in those crappy, chaotic sections of town or riding those chicken buses where you can get singled out. At least I hope you don't. I absolutely don't advise women or any expats to go wandering on their own, whether it's on public transportation or in the lower class, more chaotic sections of big cities. It can be perfectly fine if you got a friend along with you, but if you're alone in those wild and crazy sections of town, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb, especially if you're white, blonde, and taller than 5'6". But if there's one definite truth about all expats, we're all just a little bit stubborn and we walk our own path. We like to explore where few gringos have gone before, at least we like to think that. And we're adventurous, which means we're willing to listen to other people's advice and process it, but we don't necessarily follow it. That's why when you're down here and you get a group of expats together at a party or whatever, when we get to talking about our former lives up in the States, you find a lot of us were constant trouble as kids and real burdens to our parents and teachers, especially in junior high and high school. And those of us that weren't, we just never got caught. But back to the point. Oh, and one more thing. According to owners of some of those beauty parlors in Caracas, Venezuela, nearly all of their natural hair extensions were being imported from Asia. And that was what it was like up to about a year ago, before the hair bandits arrived on the scene. And the salon owners who buy these things and the people that assemble wigs and extensions, they really don't care where the hair comes from as long as the price is right and the quality's good. And when a vendor comes in with a suitcase full of, well, product, of course the owners of those salons don't ask any questions. But they know, they can tell when some of that hair hasn't been given up voluntarily. But they'll still buy it if the price is right, simply because a lot of poor Venezuelan young women with long, pretty hair actually do grow their hair long just to sell it. And believe it or not, some mothers who have young daughters with fine, long, pretty hair, well, they'll give it up for a good cause, like feeding the family or paying the electric bill. So the market is mixed with both kinds, donors both willing and unwilling. Though I can tell you this, I actually know one young Latina, about 26 years old, who told me when she was about 13, her mother actually did sell her hair, and she was not a willing donor. In fact, she skipped school for a couple of days and cried every night for about a month. Talk about childhood trauma. If that happened in the States, I guarantee the kid would be taken from her parents, end up in a foster home, have a baby in a crack house, sue her parents for damages, find Jesus, and get on Oprah. But down here in Latin America, the family's got to eat, and if that's what it takes, so be it. You get over it, it'll always grow back. And here's the thing. Word's getting around in some of the big cities like Caracas, and these days, naturally with all the rumors and the reports, ladies with long straight hair who use public transportation are a bit jumpy and not flashing those long, beautiful locks much. And the sales of hats and scarves are up too. So just a warning here, ladies, if you're in a middle class or low class public area and some guy you don't know is paying undue attention to your long, straight, beautiful hair, or if you're standing at a crowded corner, at a bus stop, or even in a bus, and you get the feeling that someone's just touched your hair, and that someone could be sizing you up, meaning it could be a prelude to having it whacked off. So ladies, if you're lucky, that bulge in that snaky-looking guy's pants might only be a scissors. And while we're at it, let's talk about certain idiosyncrasies peculiar to Latin women. Now, for those of you who've been listening to this program for a while, you know that my buddy Expat Eddie is a restaurant owner. In fact, he owns a lot of little restaurants. And when you are a restaurant owner, you want the cheapest, freshest produce possible, right? And you'll always find that at the chaotic central market in any Latin city, big or small. It's no secret, it's gigantic, and everyone knows where it is. And it is the place I always recommend gringos buy their fresh produce too. However, I always recommend that you dress down, way down, with no watches or cameras or bling of any kind. And the thing is, not only will you get the greatest deals of your life there, but it's a real great experience and a hell of a lot of fun. Anyway, the other day I was in Salvador with Expat Eddie, and he had to go to the central market for a quick vegetable run, and I always like to tag along, since that's one place that's full of surprises and there's never a dull moment. And, by the way, they often call the central market the terminal. Terminal means terminal in English, and that's just short for central bus terminal, because it's logical for the biggest bus terminal in town, where all the buses gather and go to sleep at night, that should be and is the natural place for a market like that to start when a city is small, and as time goes on, keep pace and grow huge along with the population. If you've never been to one, it's kind of like this. Picture the world's biggest Greyhound bus station, where instead of seeing nice, shiny Greyhound buses, all you see for blocks and blocks are dented, trashed, and broken down chicken buses. And mixed in with that every street within a 10-block radius is thick with people hawking everything and anything under the sun. So, needless to say, you can get everything and anything there, including all the cloned and pirated goods you can think of, too. Anyway, you just gotta see it for yourself. But back to my story. About a week ago, I was with Eddie and his girlfriend in Salvador, heading for that big central market, La Terminal, the central chicken bus terminal. And by the way, you'll see throngs of low-class people there, a lot of them looking like vagabonds, bums, and ragpickers. All of them selling or hawking something, too. So they're not looking for a handout, they're just looking to make a living. And by the way, nobody, and I mean no one, no matter how down and out he looks, ever starves when he works or lives at or near the terminal or central market. Because every night, after the market closes, there are literally tons of nearly spoiled fruit and vegetables that won't be good enough to sell the next day. So there's more than enough food for everyone. Albeit often a little soggy and overripe, but food it is. And remember this, no matter how dirty, disheveled, revolting, or even dangerous some of these people might look, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover because most of these people, I'd say 99.9% of them, are all very friendly, happy-go-lucky, and not only pleased, but even excited to see the occasional gringo. Since if you're off the tourist trail, you're probably the only gringo they've seen in weeks, so you're gonna be a kind of a rarity there. And you'll be about a foot taller than everyone too, so you're gonna garner some looks. Curious looks, not evil looks. Anyway, there's no need to be frightened or nervous around these guys. They're just doing their thing and they wanna sell you something. And you know, at first glance, when you see all the food and the produce and the utensils and the tools, the stuff piled all over the place, and all the precarious stacks and mountains of things you have to step around, duck under, and even dodge, not to mention all the puddles of unknown murky liquid you just don't wanna step in. Oh, and don't forget about the people bumping into you with their wheelbarrows and their two-wheeled carts and rusty ancient wagons. Now, you might wonder, with all these low-class, seemingly dirt-poor people all around, why aren't some of these rough and ragged-looking guys stealing from each other all the time? It would be easy, especially since there's almost zero police presence. I mean, you're talking, in some cases, thousands of people all bunched together, and no cops. The only cops you occasionally see are ones directing chicken bus traffic, because those bus drivers obey no laws, and they're known for stopping their pieces of junk in the middle of a busy intersection and just jump out and disappear for a while to buy a lottery ticket or take a pee. Oops, sorry. I'm getting to the end of the show now. I'll finish this story next week, so stay tuned.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos.
She was a picture.